Gold. Shiny metal. Should you own it? Should you trade it? Should you invest in it? What do you do with gold? Let's talk about it. Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. Side note, if you have Kindle Unlimited, my book, You Don't Have to Die Rich, How Ordinary People Can Become Extraordinarily Wealthy, is free on Amazon right now. If you have Amazon Kindle Unlimited, I have it. I find it useful, but I'm a reader. If you're not a reader, I wouldn't have it, but it gives you access to a lot of books for free. There's Amazon's free plug. But again, my book is on there free. I think two of my books are on there free. I think my Money Flow book's on there and my trading book, which is called The Money Flow. Let's talk about gold, man. What do you do with gold? You may have heard of a gentleman by the name of Ray Dalio. Ray Dalio's a billionaire. He's an economic wizard. He's a billionaire trader. He has a thing he calls his all-weather portfolio. And basically what Ray's saying is, hey, if you're a normal person, don't try to do what he's doing. Don't do options and shorts and all these various strategies. Don't do that. Just build an all-weather portfolio. Go make a bunch of money and put as much as you can in there and just leave it be. And it's supposed to, this portfolio is very simple and it's set up to perform. There's assets in there that go up when the market goes down. And Ray has a large amount of money, in my opinion, for a portfolio dedicated to gold. Gold. Now, I've gone down the rabbit hole with gold, and let me just say right now, I own some shares in a gold stock. I own a little physical gold, and I do from time to time trade gold using a electronically traded note called an ETN, and the ticker symbol is UGLD. It's a leveraged gold fund. If I'm going to trade gold, that's what I use. A lot of ways a person can acquire gold. You could buy the physical gold coins. You could buy gold certificates. You could buy physical gold. I'll get into my story where I recently sold some physical gold and let you know what I think about that. If you own electronic gold, here's the beauty. Let's say you want to sell some. You just click a mouse and you're out. It's spot price. There's no physical inventory. Now, there's a lot of conspiracy around gold. Maybe the gold that's on those ETFs, people have done studies and say, hey, there's not enough gold in the world to account for all the electronically gold that's being held. I don't know. You know, if I think, I mean, you hope that isn't the case because that's kind of fraudulent. But the world's going physical. I mean, electronic. So I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of things out there in these marketplaces where there's more of it electronically than there is in reality, you know? I mean, does Bill Gates really have $90 billion? And if he wanted it, could they give it to him? No. So the entire system is set up where it, not everything is actually there that's being sold to you electronically. And this is why we get things like Bitcoin. Bitcoin could eliminate that because there's only so many Bitcoins on the ledger. Don't go down that rabbit hole. But you may hear some car noise. What about gold? Now, one way you can own gold is in the physical form. You can order these online. That's how I used to do it. I accumulated a little war chest of physical gold coins. You can buy them as little as 10 ounce, quarter ounce, half ounce, whatever your budget is, and you could accumulate an actual treasure chest of actual gold. And I do this with physical silver too. Here's the problem. They don't produce anything. Your physical gold and your physical silver are like buying an insurance contract, but it's an insurance contract that you have to physically guard because it does have value. Now, if an insurance contract has value as long as you make the premium, well, the premium on gold is you gotta watch it. Here's the thing, it doesn't go up necessarily. So if you have $1 million in gold, it produces nothing. If you have $1 million in a fund like the YYY, which is the a fund of funds. It's made up of 30 income funds. You know, $1 million is going to produce $70,000-$80,000 a year in income, where your gold would produce nothing. It would actually have a negative net result because you would have to pay to securitize your $1 million in gold. Even if you have it at your home, you're going to have a safe, right? So there's a holding cost to this precious metal, where there wouldn't be to paper assets like stocks. Now, in the GLD, I guess you'd have no holding, but they do charge you a management fee. They're going to charge you a little yearly fee to hold and own this gold. So again, gold produces nothing. And the billionaire Ray Dalio has you own what I believe to be a significant portion of your portfolio in an asset that doesn't produce any income. Now, one day Ray may be right. You know, he's a very, very, very smart man. And I'm sure he can see things that my brain can't comprehend. And one of the reasons I can't understand the need or the value for gold is, well, I've just never lived where that actually happened. Never in my life have I needed gold. Never in your life have you needed gold. It's only a what if, a zombie land, or what if this happens. And it's based upon people who have a belief that it must happen. And what I've learned in life, that things that are obvious, things that seem like they must happen or should happen, rarely happen. It's always things that catch us by surprise and people didn't see it coming. 2008 stock market crash is pretty obvious now. And a lot of younger traders will look at this and go, dude, I would have been short. I would have done this. I would have done that. But as a guy who lived through it, it isn't coming at you at that time in the same way you're seeing it now. So Ray, being a very smart man, may can see some things in his mind that I can't see and other average people can't see. And so his intelligence leads him to do something different than we might do. I mean, just listen to videos on YouTube of Elon Musk talking. If you want to feel like you don't know much. And so I think we have that going on in economics. You have guys who are so smart, they can see things that we can't see. These things may not happen. They're just playing chess in their mind. They're like, okay, if this happens, this could happen, and then this could happen, and then the, you know, banking system goes down, and then the stock market crashes, and then you can have, but this is all what ifs in his mind. He can't read the future. There are no all-knowing people. And so sometimes being super smart can actually become a hindrance to you, because now you have this stuff going through your brain, so you begin to make all these decisions based on all these ideas and thoughts running through your brain. And you ever seen the really, really sharp guy, really squared away, and he's 35 and broke. And here's a guy over here. He's operating on like an eighth grade level, just gets up and goes to work, doesn't put himself in debt, makes wise decisions, consistently invests, and he builds an asset base and has hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And here's this good, sharp, young guy over here, and he's broke. Sometimes our minds can work against us. Entrepreneurs can have this problem where they hop from idea to idea. The struggle of when to let an idea go and when to stay at it, because there is this thing, hey, it takes time. My first website, it took me 18 months to become profitable. Like, I spent hours on this, weekends, all this stuff for about 18 months, a year and a half. My wife's like, hey, buddy, where's the money? When are you going to start making money? Before all of a sudden, I start making money. You know, what is it? What kept me going on that? Well, I could see in my mind that email marketing was the wave of the future, and I just had to figure it out. And I had to establish myself in a niche market of network marketing so that I could sell advertising to those people. And it just took time. It took me about a year and a half. Figure out the website, figure out the hosting, get all that working, get the autoresponders going, get my work on my text, figure out how I was gonna sell ads, get the merchant processing stuff, get all this working, get it all hooked up. Oh, how do we back this up? How do I communicate with customers? Well, hello. This is when computers are all brand new. Some of this stuff seems obvious to people today. It's why they can get up and going so fast. When I was doing it, no one knew how to build websites. You know, I was using Microsoft Front Page. You know, it took me weeks to figure out autoresponders and how to get it up, because the autoresponder people were still figuring it out and they would go down. You know, and the web hosting was super expensive, and I didn't understand coding. And so I had all the, it took me a year and a half. So you know what, a year in, I'm gonna go, oh, this idea sucks and quit. No, I just hadn't put the infrastructure together. And so you can look and see, does this make sense, what I'm doing? And so I wonder that, you know, if I'm a billionaire, and I'm like, yeah, you should keep a large percentage of your assets in gold. Yeah, because you're a billionaire. But I need to eat. So me having 1/4 of my assets in gold that makes no money, that costs me money to own it, is basically like saying, hey, take 1/4 of your money and purchase a what-if insurance policy and then pay to keep it every month. It doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to build wealth. And so, you know, what do we do when a billionaire's given some advice like that that doesn't make any sense? To the gold bug, it'll make sense. Well, here's what I did with my gold to give you an example. I was kind of a gold bug until I read Ray talking about this and I really got to thinking about it. And I finally realized this gold stuff, it's dumb. The world has changed. We're holding on to an asset. It's like holding a business that's no longer viable. It's like keeping an AOL email address. Like, why did they buy that? It's like insisting on shipping everything by a train and say, well, we're not going to use a truck, or we're going to continue to plow the fields by hand. We're not going to use a John Deere lawn tractor. We're going to hold to the old ways, you know. People do that, though. I have that in me. We all have that in us, and we all do that in some area or facet of our lives. So here's what I did with my gold. I had about $20,000 in 1-ounce Gold Eagle coins. I took them all and I sold them. Now, let me tell you about the selling process. It's expensive. Like, they charge you a chunk of money. You know, it's going to cost you a percentage of your portfolio to change it. If you did it online, paper at gold, it would have cost me $4.95. Doing it in the physical cost me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. On a portfolio of 20,000 or larger. I can only imagine to sell $1 million in gold. You know, remember now, the people giving you, they're giving you real money and then they're just sticking your gold in their vault and they're out their money. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't buy your gold from you. So, I mean, they charge you for this, you know. It's part of the system. It's like buying real estate. It costs 6% to buy a house. It's just part of the game. To invest in real estate digitally online can cost people some basically nothing if you go to these crowdfunding places, these lending things, these online, the commercial ones. But what do you give up? You don't even know if the asset's real. You're assuming the pictures you're looking at, but I mean, did you get on an airplane and fly there? No. And so businesses are created to somehow give us the appearance they physically go and check these, they qualify them, and you're taking their word at it. That's what the public markets are about, right? You can look at a rating of a stock and that keeps you from having to get in your car and drive over there and say, hey, show me the computer screen. Show me there's really money. We don't have to do that. It's what regulation's about. Well, in the gold market, it's no different. They got their own rules and their own regulations and you're going to pay. And so I paid a chunk of money, man. I took what was left of my $20,000 in gold and I purchased a house that just came up for sale in my neighborhood, right down the street from my house. And the house went for sale for $89,000. Very small house, like less than 800 square feet, no, 740 square feet, 1-bedroom home on 2 acres. The down payment on it, on a house that's basically $90,000, comes out to be $17,600. Boom, I set aside the other grand or $2,000 I had and used that for start the job, you know, start fixing it up. Well, it took me 5 months working on this house by myself, painting, repairing, weekends, and about $15,000 more. And I'm done. And the house is probably worth about $110,000, $115,000. I paid $90,000. I put in about that much to raise it. So I'm about even. My money's in there. And my profit on the unit is about $225 a month. So after I pay taxes, after I pay insurance, you know, I got about $225 in my hand. Now, I need to set aside about $100 of that for repairs, if you know, or just be ready to assume them as they come. I'm at a point now where I put that in the budget and then I just tackle, you know, I'm just expecting to spend $1,000 to $2,000 a month on parts, P pieces, repairs in my real estate business. I just have a percentage of money that I'm just anticipating every month, and I don't sit and calculate it on a, you know, a per unit basis. I just take from the portfolio and I set aside money, and that's going to be cost for doing business. So transferring my gold from my safe to a piece of dirt that had a house on it produced $100 a month cash flow. Now here's the thing. The real estate's going to go up about 5% a year. So let's, that, remember we said it was 105, let's keep the math simple. It's 100,000. Well, 5% of 100,000 is what? $5,000 a year. So I can anticipate a $5,000 a year, but remember, we're going to be compounding it. We won't get into all that complication. Every year, increase in asset value. I put down 17,000, right? We'll say 20, keep the math simple. We put down 20, and every year the value is going up 5%, $5,000. That's what? That's a 20% return on my down payment. Now, we haven't assumed, some people say, yeah, but that's a paper profit. You don't have it. But yes, but it is. It is a reality when you go to sell it in 5-10 years. See, in 10 years, you're going to realize all that money. So your 20% is locked up in this house, your 20,000. It's appreciating at $5,000 a year. Keep the math simple. That's 20% a year. Oh, and you're getting a $200 a month cash flow. We'll say we keep 100 of that, some tax deductions, right? Beautiful thing. And the property sits on 2 acres. So that's what I did with my gold. I turned it into an asset that could produce income. Would you rather have $20,000 in gold or $20,000 appreciating at $5,000 a year, plus it's paying you $2,400 $2,400 a year in cash flow. Oh, and they're paying down the loan for you too. So you see how all of a sudden you're getting a 25, 30% return? Or you could sit on gold in your safe. Slight little decisions like that. These slightest differences in the way that you handle money over a long period of time. Meaning, if I would have never even bothered buying the gold, if I would have been putting it into assets that produced a consistent return, meaning every month money's coming to me. I have more money next month than I had last month based upon the investment that I made. And if your brain is thinking like that, you want constant return, you want constant income and cash flow. When markets drop, I don't need to panic. There's another housing crisis. The people that lose their homes are going to have to rent from me, right? And if everything's doing great, more young people are out on their own, they need to rent from me. So good economy, bad economy, I will continue to grow. My net worth will continue to grow. It's forced. This is the beautiful thing about real estate. That down payment, it's locked. Yeah, true, I could sell the home. There's ways to get to it, but it's not easy. So if you need it for dental work, or you need to fix a car, you're gonna have to come up with something else. You can't tap this, it's not that easy. You can't get to it, right? Can't get to it. Now, I guess you could go and be a complete dipshit and do HELOCs and all kinds of nonsense to get to money. But listen, but think about that for a second. A HELOC on your personal home so you can go buy some things, buy a car, whatever it is you're doing. Again, that's like buying gold. It makes you nothing, except it's worse than gold. Those things begin to go down. So the moment you get the car, we need them, but understand, the moment you get the car, it's going down. It's going down in value. The house is going up. Gold may or may not go up, right? But rents all my life have gone up. My entire life, rents have gone up. The 18 years I've owned real estate, I've continuously raised my rents. The homes have continuously raised in value. So this is why I spend my weekends painting, cleaning, sanding. This is why I can't spend money on depreciating assets right now. Because I want my assets that produce income, that produce cash flow, to pay for those. See, I want the rents to pay for my vacation, not the money I make at work. See, the money I make at work, I want to take all of that money and invest it in assets. Not gold, not Bitcoin, Why not Bitcoin? Bitcoin doesn't produce cash flow. I can't get caught up in that. Not marijuana stocks. Why not marijuana stocks? They don't produce income. You might say, yeah, but what if they work? Okay. I'm not saying don't devote a little bit of money. But if you only have a little bit of money and you're putting it into things like that and they each bomb, you end up at 35 years old, smart, entrepreneur, aggressive, with nothing. And the guy who had an eighth grade education, who just got out and went to work and invested in solid things, slow, you know, turtle beats the hare, invests in the S&P 500 or income funds or real estate or maybe his own business. He just does that, just day after day after day. Not going for the big score, just building wealth. Not listening to billionaires who come out with dumb ways you should handle your money because they're so smart. They see a future that may or may not happen that me and you don't see because we're not billionaires. Elon Musk sees the world different. He's leaving this planet and going to Mars. Right? So be careful the advice you take from Elon Musk on how to run your electrical business. He's on a different planet, right? We have to live here and now. I can't live in this futuristic world where if all these dominoes fall just right and the entire economy collapses and boom, now all of a sudden you'll be rich in gold. The thing is, though, I have machine guns. What if I just shot you and took your gold? That's the problem with that whole, you think everything's going to be orderly? They're going to let the people with the gold now be king? No. This doesn't even make any sense. You're buying an insurance policy that if you ever cashed it in, we're all fucked. And so why would you invest in doom? Never invest in doom and gloom. Never pays. Few people can do it, man. So that's my take on gold. There's better assets, better things to do with your money. Take that money, put it into income producing assets, a business, income funds, mortgage REITs. Don't do peer-to-peer lending. The stock market, there's so many ways. I would avoid financial advisors and I would read their books. The good ones write books. You can get their advice almost for free. The ones that you're gonna go in and see, I don't wanna say nine times because I don't know the percentage, but a large percent of them are gonna put you in things you should not be buying. And the simplest investigation of this, and you'll see horror stories on the internet, people 60, 70 years old and they just own ridiculously horrible depreciating assets. These are the people buying gold on Fox News. The last people who should be investing their money in income producing properties are buying an insurance policy that if it's cashed, we're all screwed. So now you're 80 and you've got a bunch of gold. What is that produces nothing that now you pass on this burden to your children. This is the same as debt. I'd rather have gold than debt, but debt's a burden. It steals wealth. It doesn't create wealth. So the science of getting rich is about wealth creation, meaning that's what I mean for me. Wealth creation may not be fun to you, but for me, it's a way of life. Every day, every single human being who has access to money has the ability to begin creating wealth. They can choose to or not choose to. You chose to yesterday or didn't choose to. You chose to learn about wealth yesterday. You chose to participate in some sort of sales to get money scheme yesterday, whether it be going to work or an MLM program or an affiliate program or something you do online. You can choose whether you are engaged in commerce and trying to make money, the things you read, the things you study, the people you're around, or you can ignore all of that and live an ordinary life. Broke. If that's what you choose, that option is available. Poor Richard Zalman, that's available to anyone. All you got to do is get up every day and not think about wealth building. That's it. All you got to do is get up every day. Don't think about wealth building at all. Just put your head in the sand like a ostrich and you'll get it. We get what we sow. You reap what you sow, and it's in every religion, every word of wisdom, every parable, every finance book, it's everywhere, the process to building wealth. You actually have to choose to ignore it for it to work in your life.